Yes,
Welcome, welcome to Bhakti Sangha conference call. Today we are very fortunate to have His Grace Chakravarti Prabhuji to enlighten us on the topic of Srimad Bhagavatam, chapter 1 verse onwards. Hare Krishna Prabhuji, Dhanavad Pranam, all glories to Srila Prabhupada and Guru Maharaj. Are you there in the call, Prabhuji?
Hare Krishna Mataji.
Hare Krishna Prabhuji, thank you very so much for joining the call this morning, Prabhuji.
Chakravarti Prabhuji is coming in few minutes.
Okay, Prabhuji. Your time, Prabhuji. I now hand over the call to you, Prabhuji. Hare Krishna.
Amagyanati mirandhasya jnananjana shalakaya Chakshurun militam yena tasmay Shri Gurave Namah. Shri Chaitanya Manavishtam Sthapitam Yena Bhutale Swayam Rupa Padam Yam Dadati Svapadantikam Vandeham Shri Guru Shri Yuta Padakamalam Shri Guru Vaishnavansh Shri Rupam Sagarajantam Sagana Raghunatham Vitam Tam Sajivam Sadvaitam Sabhututam Parichana Sahitam Krishna Chaitanya Devam Shri Radha Krishna Padavan Sagana Raghunatham Shri Vishakha Amitash Nama Om Vishnu Padaya Krishna Prishthaya Bhutale Srimate Bhakti Vedanta Swaminiti Namini Namaste Saraswati Devi Gaurvani Pracharine Nirvishesha Shunyavadi Vashvati Shatati Nama Mahavadanyaya Krishna Prema Pradaya Te Krishnaya Krishna Chaitanya Namine Parati Shiva Te Krishna Kralasana Dina Bandho Jagatpate Rupesha Papika Kanta Radha Kanta Namastite Tapta Kanchana Gaurangi Radhe Vrindavaneshwari Prishabhanu Sute Devi Pranamami Hari Priya Vancha Kalpatar Vishya Kripa Sindhu Deva Japati Vaishnava Jyamana Namaham Jaya Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhar Shivasadi Gauru Bhakti Vrinda Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 So, I was told to speak on the Srimad Bhagavatam verse and also about Sri Rasikananda Prabhu, whose appearance day we celebrated 2 days ago. So, I thought first we'd discuss about Sri Rasikananda Prabhu and then go on to our regular Bhagavatam class. So, Sri Rasikananda Prabhu, disciple of Sri Shamananda Prabhu. And you know, Shamananda Prabhu is disciple of Sri Rida Chaitanya Prabhu, who is disciple of Mahaprabhu's associate. So how this glorious parampara is there. And if you hear about these wonderful acharyas, amazing, just, I mean, there are no words, no adjectives to describe about their qualities. We just hear about them, discuss about them, we remember them. And yesterday we celebrated Srila Prabhupada's disappearance day. So, yet another great acharya, very close to all of us. Because he gave us ISKCON. He gave us everything actually. So when we hear about these great acharyas, our heart is filled with awe and reverence, filled with that love, that affection, that respect, that gratitude in our heart erupts. Because these acharyas, we are into their association, through their katha, through their leela, by the mercy of Śrīla Prabhupāda. So Rasikananda Prabhu appeared in 1590 And his father's name was Sri Achyutadeva, who was the king of Rohini. It's an area in Mallabhumi near Swarnarekha River. Swarnarekha River is considered to be very like Ganga, who takes away all your sins. And his mother's name was Bhavani. She was very much dedicated, very pious and chaste lady. And very soon, at a very young age, Sri Rasikananda Prabhu was married to Shyamadasi. Another embodiment of devotion and chastity. They both, husband and wife, were practicing Krishna consciousness. Even though practicing Krishna consciousness satisfied in a way that wife is supportive, parents are supportive, what else you need? Everything. As Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur sings, that when I see this, when I see my house, it appears Vrindavan, because everyone is practicing Krishna consciousness. From 2 days I'm hearing, like I hear every day Prabhupada's lecture. So from 2 days Prabhupada's talking, similar thing. He said, he's talking about renunciation. Then he said, doesn't matter. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is not very particular about you being a sannyasi or brahmachari or a grihastha. Don't become a grihamedi. Become a grihastha. And become first class devotees and preach. Mahaprabhu is not concerned. Bhakti is not dependent on ashram. Though the brahmachari or sannyas ashram gives extra facility, but that does not guarantee pure devotional service. We have all these great acharyas who are in grihastha ashram. But still there was some vacuum, something was lacking in his heart. And he was just not very happy. He was thinking what to do. He was praying. When will the day come when some great personality, great Vaishnava will give me shelter at his lotus feet? So our today's verse is very much connected to this mood, which we'll discuss later. That hankering should be there. Now, you can say it's Prabhupada's mercy, unlimited, causeless, whatever words you want to give. Then every one of us are getting initiation so easily. Otherwise, we know this story of Narottam Das Thakur getting initiated from Lokanath Goswami. We know how Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Thakur got initiation. We know how so many devotees had to struggle so much to be initiated by a bona fide spiritual master. And here we are. We have so many bona fide spiritual masters in this world. Not only one. In their time, they were very rare. The souls were very rare who were bona fide. So Rasikananda Prabhu's name was also Murari. He was lamenting, hankering for the association of Guru. Because until and unless we take shelter of the bona fide spiritual master, our bhajan, in a way, doesn't start. Yeah, we are doing something, but that the path will not open. Then someone will say, but in Chaitanya Charitamrita it is mentioned, no need of initiation. So I would request them to go and read the purport of that verse. Prabhupada has written some 7 to 8 verses, 7 to 8 pages of purport. and how it is important to be accepted by a bona fide guru. So he heard this sound. He was sitting and there was a sound in the sky. That don't worry, Murari, very soon you will be accepted by Sri Shyamananda. And Shyamananda Prabhu, after completing his education under Jiva Goswami, he came to Odisha and started preaching. He preached everywhere in Odisha. And he was popular. So he knew. Murari Prabhu, he knew. And then he was so happy. Imagine how much happiness we should be feeling in our heart when we hear not only our Guru Maharaj, but any Guru, bona fide, an ISKCON Guru, they are coming towards our temple and we are going to get their darshan. So much intense feeling he was feeling. Then he just slept. And while he was sleeping, he saw the dream. And in the dream, Shyamananda Prabhu appeared. And he said, tomorrow, in the morning, early morning when the sun will rise, you will meet me and I will accept you as my disciple. Because it was ordered. And next day, he's sitting outside, took bath and sitting on the path, and he saw Shyamananda Prabhu coming, very effulgent, coming along with his associates, as if the clouds were moving in the sky. Broad chest, such beautiful smile, and from his lotus mouth, emanating continuously the names of Gauranga and Nityananda. He was so jubilant. Murari Prabhu became so jubilant. Immediately he paid obeisances. And Shyamananda Prabhu, he came, picked him up and embraced him. There, he gave him initiation. He and his wife both. Shyamananda Prabhu gave initiation to both husband and wife, Shyamadasi, Mataji, and Rasikananda Prabhu. Both got initiation in Krishna Nam. So this is what Srila Rupa Goswami explains in 64 limbs of bhakti. First is Guru Pada Ashraya. He takes the shelter of bona fide spiritual master. First element in bhakti. Second is take initiation and knowledge from Guru. Shiksha and Diksha in Krishna Tattva. So then they both got initiation. And Rasikananda Prabhu started traveling with Shyamananda Prabhu. And he became so dear to Shyamananda Prabhu. He became very intimate. After that, Shyamananda Prabhu gave him a deity, Radha Govindev, at Sri Gopi Vallabhapur, and told him that you stay here at Sri Gopi Vallabhapur and worship Radha Govind. And he worshipped with so much love and attention and care. Now sometimes we are Kali Yuga people. We need everything, what you call smart goals. The goal should be smart. Whether I'm smart or not, the goal should be smart, so specific, measurable, and achievable, and realistic, time-bound. So everything we need a measure. How will I know whether I'm lovingly serving the deity? You will know. And Prabhupada gives very simple parameter. Who you have to go to take certificate that your stomach is now full, you have taken sufficient prasad. You don't need to go and take certificate from anyone. You will realize. So Prabhupada says, deity worship means two parameters, cleanliness and punctuality. If you are punctual with all the services of deities and you are thoroughly clean, you, the altar and everything around that is clean, that means it's good. And then you want to know how you feel? Prabhupada says, when you dress the deities, you will feel the satisfaction in your heart. That is the standard of deity worship. You should feel that satisfaction. If you are not feeling, then we need to chant more attentively. We need to serve the deities more attentively. Maybe we are committing some seva aparads. So this is the standard. If we are there already, well and good. If you're not there, rise. Come to that standard by more sadhana bhakti. Then he started preaching the message of Gauranga and Nityananda in Gopi Vallabhapur, Rasikananda Prabhu and his wife, both. And everyone could see how lovingly Rasikananda Prabhu is serving Sri Garada Govinda there. So, because the deities become very effulgent if you serve them nice. That's amazing science. No? If it is only stone, it should remain same. You go and see any picture of any deities of ISKCON 10 years, 20 years, 40 years back, and now you see. You see Krishna Balram in Vrindavan 40 years back and now. You see Radha Rasa Bihari in Juhu 40 years back and now. You will see the difference. It's not a stone. The deities, they reciprocate with love and affection what they receive from the devotees. Then he was preaching and he preached to everyone. There was a wicked person, you know, he was a Muslim, and he tried to kill Rasik Murari, Rasikananda or Rasik Murari, by feeding an elephant some intoxication, so that intoxicated elephant will trample under its feet, Rasikananda. But Rasikananda was such a powerful devotee, such pure devotee, that he tamed that elephant. Intoxicated mad elephant was tamed. Not only once, there were two elephants he tamed, and he tamed two tigers. Can you imagine? The second elephant which he tamed, he gave name as Gopal Das. Even in Vrindavan, there was one sadhu who tamed one lion. And this lion will go out and do madhukari for sadhu. The sadhu will put some bag and the lion will go, knock the door and just bow down. And people will know he has come, so they'll put something in his madhukari bag. So that's how he was preaching. And he preached to all zamindars and kings, nearby area, whoever, even wicked people, even atheists, even non-believers. Everyone was just touched by his association and they would become devotees. Once Rasikananda Prabhu was preaching, he preached for 46 years. He was vigorously preaching and was completely absorbed in preaching. Suddenly he realized that there is a time of Rath Yatra and he wanted to go to Jagannath. He left everything then and there and just ran, you know, like the wind towards Jagannath. Cold had just started in India. So that's why this all. But Rath Yatra already started. Jagannath was feeling that separation from Rasikananda because he was coming. So Jagannath didn't allow the cart to move. And the king tried so much, elephants came, they pulled, they pushed, nothing to do. The king was frustrated. So Jagannath told him, "They don't get frustrated. My devotee Rasikananda is coming. So I'm waiting for him. Once he comes, I'll go." And Rasikananda approached near the cart, and everyone knew who's Rasikananda. He gave so many gifts. He paid obeisances. And the king said to Rasikananda Prabhu, "Please pull the cart." And single-handedly pulled the cart, and cart started moving. And Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, if he would see the cart is not moving, because Jagannath would just stand on the road to see the dancing Lord. So Lord is relishing the dance of the Lord. Gauranga is Krishna, Jagannath is Krishna. So, and then Chaitanya Mahaprabhu pushed with his own head and the cart will move. So this is how, and then Rasikananda Prabhu, the king said to Rasikananda Prabhu, that why don't you stay here? Jagannath Puri, holy place, the Lord is here. You could stay here and worship. Open a temple here. Sometimes ISKCON devotees also get some of them. They please come and open the temple. Not in Dham. In Dham there is too much competition. So, but other places definitely we are invited. So then Rasikananda Prabhu said, "Okay, give me this full tota mat, which is now known as Sri Kunja mat." And he started worshipping the deities, which is now known as Sri Radha Rasik Rai. After 46 years of preaching, the amazing way how he departed from this world, he reached Remuna, Kirchor Gopinath. And they were doing a lot of kirtan. And then he did some Krishna katha. He spoke some katha. So, after speaking katha, and he knew, as the time has come, he went inside. He touched the lotus feet of Gopinath. And he entered the deity and left to the spiritual abode from there. Look at the power of devotees. We know Chaitanya Mahaprabhu did like this. But even devotees. So Bhagavad Gita, when it is says, in the fourth chapter, Krishna is saying, the consummate and the person who is performing the yajna, and the yajna itself, both becomes pure. The ingredients which are poured in that fire, both become pure. So devotees are so pure that they can depart from this world through the deity. Seeing this, that their spiritual master has departed, all the devotees who are doing kirtan with mridanga and kartal, they drop their kartal, they drop their mridanga, and immediately they drop their bodies. They left them. Imagine the love they had for them. As Puranjan Vyakhyan, you all are studying. Puranjan Vyakhyan, you all are studying. When he died, Puranjan, his wife was lamenting. And then Prabhupada writes in the purport that how, and then Prabhupada immediately takes that husband-wife thing to guru and disciple. And he says how a disciple should actually leave the body immediately when his guru has left. What is the business left? But he says only for preaching, for service of preaching, the disciple must stay back. So that is the mood we see here. And all those devotees, their samadhi, their pushpa samadhi is still in near Kirchur Gopinath. And Rasikanand Prabhu's pushpa samadhi is in Radha Shama Sundar temple in Vrindavan. A beautiful Shama Sundar deity, small deity, which has manifested from the heart of Shama Sundar, has manifested from the heart of Srimati Radharani. There also we have samadhi of Shamananda Prabhu, and there only, in the same campus, the samadhi, pushpa samadhi of Sri Rasikananda Prabhu. So this is about Sri Rasikananda Prabhu. He had three sons, all became powerful devotees, and he wrote a book, Shamananda Shataka, the biography of his spiritual master, Shamananda Prabhu. And there's so much detail to talk about these acharyas. Sri Rasikananda Prabhu ki jai. So we have to also cover the verse. Reading from Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 4, Chapter 29, chapter entitled Talks Between Narada and Kring Prachini Bari. Text number 1. I don't understand what is 1A and 2A. I was told 1A. I thought 1 and 2. 1 is 1A. I'm supposed to take 1A, or these both together becomes the first verse. Because I don't know how to separate them. Sarvesham eva jantunam satatam deha poshane asti pragya samayatta ko vishesha stadarnam labdvehante manushyatvam hitva dehadya satgraham atma sritya vihayedyam jivatma sa vishishyate. King Prachini Bari replied, my dear Lord, is addressing Narada Muni. My dear Lord, we could not appreciate completely the purport of your allegorical story of King Puranjan. Actually, those who are perfect in spiritual knowledge can understand, but for us, who are overly attached to fruitive activities, to realize the purpose of your story is very difficult. Purport. Shri Prabhupada writes in Bhagavad Gita 7.30, Lord Krishna says, Tribhir guna mayir bhave, ebhi sarvam idam jagat, mohitam nabhi janati mame bhya paramabhyayam. Deluded by the three modes, goodness, passion and ignorance, the whole world does not know me, who I am above the modes and inexhaustible. Generally, people are enchanted by the three modes of material nature. And therefore practically unable to understand that behind all materialistic activities in the cosmic manifestation is the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Krishna. Generally, when people are engaged in sinful or pious activities, they are not perfect in knowledge of devotional service. Amazing line. We'll discuss on this. The allegorical story narrated by Narada Muni to King Bharishman. Bharishman is Prachini Bhari or Prachini Bharishad. Same person, especially meant to engage conditioned souls in devotional service. The entire story narrated allegorically is easily understood by a person in devotional service, but those who are engaged not in devotional service but in sense gratification cannot perfectly understand it. That is admitted by King Varishman. This 29th chapter describes that by too much attachment for woman, one becomes a woman in next life. But a person who associates with the Supreme Personality of Godhead or his representative becomes free from all material attachment and is thus liberated. So very interesting, and almost 4 or 5 different points Srila Prabhupada covers. That's why the purpose is so important, these Bhaktivedanta purpose. You see, any scholar, when he gives the purpose to Bhagavatam, he gives what is given, okay, he has some connection to bhakti, some connection, but he's a scholarly person, and he gives a purpose. So he expands. But Prabhupada is Mahabhagavata Acharya. He is not just ordinary devotee or ordinary scholar. Prabhupada will exactly write in purpose what is needed for us. Foolish people in the world, they say that Prabhupada has, you know, given something which is not spoken in the verse. Sometime you will see in some of the Bhagavatam verses where if you take the shloka, the verse, and if you just get it translated either through Google Translate or through any Sanskrit professor in any of the university, they will do it correctly. But Prabhupada will add something more. Even in word meanings, then what is about purpose? Because what Prabhupada is trying to give us is what we need. And if something is extra has to be given, connected to that, Prabhupada will give. That is the position of an acharya. So Prabhupada saying, this translation, Prachini Bari, he is saying, my dear Lord, he's telling Narada Muni. Now Narada Muni explained in few chapters the entire story of Puranjan and then how he becomes Puranjani. This is what Prabhupada writes in the last line or the last paragraph. A man who's too much attached to a woman becomes a woman in next life. Yam yam bhavi swaram bhavam tajyatyante kalevaram tam tam evaiti kaunteya sadatad bhava bhavita. With whatever consciousness a person leaves, he will attain that body in the next life. And here we see Puranjan becomes Puranjani. So we are just going around in this world, changing the bodies. We get attached. We know the story of Bharat Maharaj. Obviously, that was a special pastime of the Lord to teach all of us. But how he was so attached to deer and he became the deer. So how much careful we should be. Because we don't know. Parikshit Maharaj had 7 days. He knew that he will not die before 7 days. We don't know whether we'll be able to complete this lecture. That's our situation. We don't know. So then all the time we should be attentive. Where our consciousness is hovering. My dear Lord, we could not appreciate completely the purport of your allegorical story of King Puranjan. He's being very honest. This is the first sign of a person who is sincere in Krishna. He's honest that I'm not a big scholar. I cannot understand. I'm admitting it in front of my spiritual master that Guru Maharaj, I cannot understand anything. Please make me understand. Why I cannot understand? He says, those who are perfect in spiritual knowledge can understand, but for us, Prachinibari is talking about himself. He's saying for us, who are overly attached to fruitful activities, to realize the purpose of a story is very difficult. So we can understand that to understand scriptures is not easy. So here, when we are talking about Rasikanandru, we realized the need of Guru. You cannot go and read Bhagavatam or Bhagavad Gita or Ramayana Mahabharata and understand. In Chaitanya Charitamrita, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu would be, you know, so many people would come to bother him. So Mahaprabhu said to our Swarup Damodar, he said, don't send directly people. You scan them. I don't want. So Mahaprabhu is in a different mood, relishing that internal bhav. He does not want to get disturbed. So Swarup Damodar would, especially the writings, but then the people who, you know, who write anything about Krishna, completely non bona fide, and they bring to Mahaprabhu. So such one Brahmana came and here is not very bona fide thing. So Swarup Damodar said that I cannot show it to Mahaprabhu because it's not correct. That devotee accepted his mistake. That was his honesty. And he said, how can I learn Bhagavad? Swarup Damodar, being very kind-hearted, he said, Bhagavat sthane. Bhagavat padhiya, Bhagavat sthane. If you want to learn Bhagavat, you go and take shelter at the lotus feet of Bhagavat. Otherwise, you will not get it. I was distributing Bhagavad Gita in the train. 5 or 6 years ago. And one person, you know, maybe in 60s, he said that you people say that Bhagavad Gita is open secret. No, Bhagavad Gita, he says, Krishna is telling in Bhagavad Gita that this knowledge is guhya, guhyataram, guhyatamam. That this knowledge is so confidential that even the 9th chapter is called the most confidential knowledge. Rajavidya Rajguhyam. And you people, he was telling me, that you people keep distributing Bhagavad Gita openly. Where is the secret then? You should not distribute it. I said, Prabhuji, this Bhagavad Gita is open secret. This Bhagavad Gita is an open secret. He said, what do you mean by open secret? It's a contradiction. Yes. Everything in this creation and spiritual life is apparently a contradiction. So then I gave him an example. I said, if you go to market, take the medical book and study it, can you become a doctor? He said, no. I said, similarly, we are studying Bhagavad Gita. You will read Bhagavad Gita, but you will not understand Bhagavad Gita. He said, what do you mean by that? I said, you read Bhagavad Gita, but you will not understand it. He said, then why will I read and why are you distributing? I said, you will understand one thing, that you cannot understand Bhagavad Gita. And he was like, what? I said, you will understand after reading Bhagavad Gita that you cannot understand Bhagavad Gita because it is unlimited. It has unlimited depth. So then what do I do to understand? I said, Krishna has already told. Tadvidhi prani bhatena pariprasthina sevaya upadikshati tya jnanam jnani nastakta darshana. You have to approach a guru. So Prabhupada is so merciful that people will read Bhagavad Gita whether they will come to guru or not. So Prabhupada is given the purport. Everything. And that's why very confidently Srila Prabhupada says that anyone who reads even one book of mine, even one chapter, even one page, even one paragraph, even one line or just one word, his life is successful. So Prabhupada gave everything. Now here King Prachini Parishad is saying, until unless one is purified, he cannot understand. So we have to take shelter at the lotus feet of Guru. Engage ourselves in sadhana and seva. And eventually, our heart will get purified. Then, the knowledge will be realized. There are three levels of knowledge, or three kinds of knowledge. One is the revealed knowledge, which is not revealed to you, person like me. Knowledge is revealed by Lord only to Acharyas, not to us. And then second is realized knowledge. So when we read Bhagavad Gita, we hear Bhagavad Gita, we read and hear Bhagavatam, we chant, we serve devotees, we serve Krishna, then the knowledge gets realized. And then third is acquired knowledge. So you read, you acquire some knowledge. So along with reading, you need chanting, you need serving the devotees, the Vaishnavas, taking prasadam, doing other devotional service to understand all. Or Bhagavatam, or for Chaitanya, any other literature. So one's heart has to get purified. It is not a scholarly thing. We should never approach any of the Vedic scripture with a scholarly bent of mind. What will happen? A scholar will approach the literature having false ego in his heart that I will understand. I have studied Sanskrit. I know so many things. I have done PhD. I have taught Sanskrit. I have taught this. I can understand. He will never be able to understand. Krishna doesn't reveal. Krishna doesn't reveal. Mohasha, moha karma, Krishna says. These people who are not devotees, they're baffled. All the efforts are baffled. So that is why we should approach Srimad Bhagavatam, Bhagavad Gita, any book of Prabhupada, with that devotion in our heart. The dependence on Guru and Krishna that I cannot understand. And you will see that you will realize knowledge. If this story which comes in Chaitanya Charitamrita, how Chaitanya Mahaprabhu went to Srirangam and he saw one Brahmana who didn't know how to read and write. He was instructed by his Guru that you have to read Bhagavad Gita. And he said, I don't know how to read. He didn't say that. His Guru knows that my disciple does not know how to read. How will he read? But still Guru is instructing. With firm faith in his heart, unflinching faith. This Brahmana is reading Bhagavad Gita. He's not able to read it because he does not. So many people are laughing. See, this person who's uneducated, illiterate, he's trying to read Bhagavad Gita. But what happened? When Chaitanya Mahaprabhu came, this Brahmana was crying. Mahaprabhu asked, what happened? He said, my Lord, whenever I take this Bhagavad Gita in my hand, I realize the great mercy of Sri Krishna. Such compassion that he became the driver, the servant of his servant. He became the chariot driver. And his name, Parth Sarthi, is glorified everywhere. That's why seeing the greatness, the great compassion and mercy of Lord, his tears are flowing from my eyes. And Mahaprabhu said, O Brahmana, you have understood Bhagavad Gita. And Chaitanya Mahaprabhu embraced that. So we don't want to become scholars, because scholars will live in the material realm. They will not go back to God. Knowledge will not be revealed. So we should approach any act of devotion with devotion in our heart. Any sadhana, seva you're doing, devotion. How do we develop devotion? Because nothing is coming, so what do? We should know the relationship. Sambandh Gyan. All the scriptures, if you take in the world, 75% of the content given is Sambandh Gyan. 20% is Abhide, and only 3-4% is Prayojan. Sambandh is 75% in the literature. Because if we realize our Sambandh, everything will, you know, it will just smoothly flow. The process of bhakti will become very smooth. All of us have our parents. And even after chanting from years, taking initiation, staying away from them, we still have very strong connection with them because they are our parents. We cannot deny that. That's not wrong. It's not wrong. Now this corona, somewhere second wave is coming, somewhere third wave is coming, somewhere still people are struggling with first wave. What? When we come to know that either one of our parents or both the parents have been found or tested positive for corona, how much we feel concern, how much anxiety or stress comes in our heart, in our consciousness. Do we feel the same for Krishna? Do we feel the same for Prabhupada, for our Guru? Do we feel the same for other devotees? We'll ask that. And that will define how much we feel related to Krishna. I was just talking to some devotees. I said, a group of devotees. I said, from 7 months, temple was closed. Did you even consider how things are going when the temple is closed? But we consider, oh, from 7 months, I'm sitting at home. No income, no salary. So how much we are connected, these are the testing times. These are the testing times which will tell us where is our consciousness. You ask yourself, everyone should ask themselves, what if I die at this moment? And see what kind of thought is entering in our consciousness. This is called self-help test or self-evaluation. Just imagine you're about to die in next 5 seconds. And see in this 5 seconds what kind of thoughts are coming to us. Oh, I have to pay the bill of credit card. Oh, the milk is kept on the stove. The cake is getting baked in the microwave oven. I have to meet this devotee. I have to collect money from here. I have to do this. So many things. And just come and bombard our thoughts. Are we ready? We're going back. Are we thinking about Krishna? So that's relationship. That's called devotion. So we have to work on that. It has to become deeper and deeper and deeper. And eventually, whatever may happen, Vaishnava is not hard-hearted. Even a pure devotee, when his family is affected, he has concern. He has concern for the soul, not for the body. He takes treatment. Prabhupada, pure devotee. Any of his disciples, then they would fall sick. Prabhupada would take care of them. Prabhupada would ask them. Prabhupada would personally write the medicine. Give money. If you are a brahmachari, from where will you get? Take this medicine, apply it, and tell me. And after 2 days, Prabhupada would ask again, what happened? Did you apply that medicine? Show me your foot. So, Prabhupada is pure devotee, but he's taking care of all of us. Vaishnava is not hard-hearted. Anyway, so this is required, but what is happening right now, we all are deluded by three modes of material. Everyone in this material world is deluded by three modes: goodness, passion, and ignorance. One or the other. And these three modes are fighting with each other. Whoever wins, we are his servant. We are its. That mode becomes our master. If tamogun wins over rajogun and satogun, then we are afflicted by ignorance. If the goodness wins over passion and ignorance, then we are afflicted with goodness. But that's also contaminated. That's also tainted with passion and ignorance. It's not pure goodness. So we all are. And we don't have to worry. Worry in the sense, yes, we should worry that we have to come out, but we should not think too much about it. Rather, we should just focus on taking medicine. Sometime you would have seen the kids. And either while playing or something, they fell down. So they, you know, they hurt themselves. So suppose there is maybe fracture, you can say. Or if not fracture, there are some bruises. But for a kid, there is a lot of pain. Or maybe the bruises are a little deep. There's a deep cut and the doctor has to put some stitches. Now you give that kid a painkiller. He will always remember that pain. He will look at that infection again and again. There's a tendency. But if you take this painkiller, you'll be relieved. It will help you to sleep. And take these medicines which will heal that. So that's what will happen. But the tendency is to again and again look there. So similarly, we have anarthas in our heart. We are conditioned souls. We are baffled by three modes of material nature. But our acharya is saying, forget about that. Just take this medicine. Chant Hare Krishna. Practice devotional service. This will be taken care of. But we are more concerned about this rather than concerned about medicine. Most of us have this problem, we can say, where we are shifting our consciousness again and again to the problem and not to the solution. So we have to learn and practice. Abhyasena kantya vairagya cha grihate. Abhyas and vairagya. Vairag from seeing our anarthas again and again. I mean, we have to see. That will make us humble. But we should not be overly concerned. And abhyas of positive. So that will help us to advance in bhakti. Then he says, generally people are enchanted by three modes of material nature and therefore practically unable to understand that behind all cosmic manifestations, the cause of all causes is Sri Krishna. Very difficult. Do we agree? It is difficult? Yes. Because we don't have complete conviction that the cause of all causes is Krishna. Krishna said same thing in Bhagavad Gita. Bhagavatam is saying, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu has said, so many acharyas, Brahmaji is saying, Sarva Karana Karanam. Do we believe? No. Do we have faith? No. Someone will say, I have faith, I have conviction. Okay, let us test. Something happened to our near and dear one, then we'll realize. Sarva Karana Karanam. If you know that Krishna is Sarva Karana Karanam, you lost your job, no problem. It's Krishna who took away your job. It's okay. Then we do that. Prabhupada did that. Prabhupada lost his factory, Prabhupada lost his business, Prabhupada lost everything. What he did? He was laughed. The special mercy of Krishna took away everything. Sarva karana karanam. We are not in that. Why we are not that level? Because we are baffled by three modes of material. So until and unless we come out of three modes, we will not be able to have full conviction. So these things are, you know, interlinked everywhere. So I personally, I have heard from many senior devotees, I personally recommend focus more on taking medicine. And that's what Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Thakur said. He said, our mark is not anartha pravritti. Even though in the nine stages of bhakti, there is anartha pravritti, anartha nivritti. He said, that's not. We should focus on artha pravritti rather than focusing on anartha nivritti. And it's very logical, very logical. With a simple example, if there's a room completely dark, and I have been given task that this room should have no darkness at all. And I open the door, I try to push the darkness out. Go away, go away, go away from this room, go away from my life, go all the darkness. Like, there's a minister in India, he's a little comic fellow. And when Corona just was in China that time, so not the cases have not come to India. And this fellow, you know, he arranges some foreign tourist or something, and then he's go Corona, go Corona, go Corona, Corona, go. He's saying go Corona. Maybe by hearing Corona, Corona, Corona came. So you cannot just push the negativity out. It's not easy. So how to go? How to remove the darkness in the room? You just live the light. Switch on the light. So that's called artha pravritti. I can guarantee you, all the anxieties which sadhakas are having in ISKCON, chanting nahi ho raha hai. I'm not able to chant. I'm not able to read. I'm not able to focus. My mind is getting distracted. I have so much anarthas. I have lust, anger, greed, false ego. So much. What will I do? These are all mental problems. And only solution. Don't focus on that. Focus on chanting Hare Krishna. But Maya will not allow us to do that. There's absolutely no problem if you just focus on chanting Hare Krishna. Yes, I am diseased. Heavy diseases. And I'm taking medicine. The best of the medicine in the entire creation. The most powerful. Not the most powerful, the all-powerful. Non-different from Krishna. His holy name. But then, Maya does not want us. So Maya will tell the mind, look at how much negative you are. It's Maya who's telling us, look how many anarthas. You think you can chant and go back to Godhead? You know all the living entities, Krishna says in Bhagavad Gita, Maya will preach us. All the living entities, as told by Krishna, are completely pure in the spiritual world. Are you pure? Look at your heart. Lust, anger, greed, envy, hatred. So many problems. Do you love all devotees? Do you like all devotees? Can you cooperate with all devotees? Maya will preach. And then finally Maya will say, forget, nothing is going to work. Do you think just chanting Hare Krishna Mahamantra you can purify? No. You come to me and I will give you all the enjoyment of life. So anytime any devotee, any sadhaka who's practitioner is feeling that I cannot fight with Maya, who's feeling that I'm not able to focus on chanting, who's thinking too much of anartha, it's not good. That's not good. Yes, you should know the reality that you are diseased. I mean, I am diseased. I know that I have disease. What can I do? Just take medicine and be happy. Professor chant and be happy. Otherwise, and but we cannot do. So then what is the solution? Solution is still the same. Chant. When you are chanting, chant. Only chant. Everything will fall in place. Don't think too much about negativity or inside you. It is there. Sometimes devotees is going, Prabhu, I have so much lust within my heart. So, I know it. Everyone knows it. That's why you are in the material world. When we are in the prison house, one criminal is telling to other criminal, you know, I'm a criminal. I know. That's why you are in this uniform. So this material body is telling us that we are criminals. And that's why we are put into this jail, in prison house. So we should focus on how can we go out. Then he says, the entire story narrated allegorically easily understood by a person in devotional service. But a person who cannot practice devotion, who is not practicing devotional service, cannot understand. Same thing what we discussed. And Prasini Bharishad, king, he admitted that yes, I cannot understand. We sometimes feel that we understand, but actually we don't understand. Understanding means applying in the mind, practicing. If we are not practicing, or whatever we are practicing, we have understood this. Whatever we are not practicing, we have not understood that. It's as simple as that. So, we need Guru. We take shelter of him. He gives the mantra. Mahamantra is available, but when it comes from bona fide guru, then you are accepted in parampara. And then you continue bhakti. Don't worry about the three modes disturbing you or the problems of this world disturbing you or your mind disturbing you. Don't worry at all. Just chant and tell your mind that, okay, I may not be pure, but I have the medicine to become pure. Prabhupada was a chemist and he used to make different medicines. So in Allahabad, one person asked, one of his godbrothers, do you have medicine which will cure the disease of the heart? Prabhupada said, yes, I have it. I know the formula. I'll make the medicine and distribute it. So that's bhakti. So we should focus on the medicine and not the disease itself. Because when you see again and again that infection on your body, you will be afflicted with more and more pain. Even though the pain is not physically, but mentally. Sometimes it happens that if someone meets an accident and the face is damaged, and after so much medical treatment, plastic surgery, face is no kind of. But still, when you see, there will be some scars, some stitches here. Now, the pain has gone, but that will give you what? Mental pain, emotional pain. So why should we think about our anartha? Here King Brachini Bharishad is teaching us. He didn't understand. He is honest. He told his guru that I didn't understand. Please teach me. He's not saying that Narad Muni, I've understood everything. What to do? I cannot apply. I have so many anarthas. This is mental problem. You see, King Brachini Bharishad, did he say like that? That I have so many, I understood. This is the, you know, the Kali Yuga people. They will say that they have understood, but they cannot apply it. Why? Also, Prabhu, I have so many anarthas, I cannot apply it.
I understood what is right, what is wrong. But I cannot practice right and cannot neglect the wrong because of my anatta. That means you have not understood. It will take more time. So what to do? Chant your name. Pay obeisance to the deities, to Prabhupada. Pray to Krishna, pray to Prabhupada, pray to devotees, serve devotees. And eventually, those purification will start. And then you will become pure. Fixed up in Krishna consciousness. Attain the stage of nishtha, the stage of determination. Whatever may happen, I'm not going to leave. Whatever may come, I'm not going to leave Prabhupada, not going to leave Krishna. Whatever pain has to come on my body, on my mind, let it come. It doesn't bother me. Let's fix it. So maybe I'll stop here if some of you have any comments, any question, anyone wants to speak something, add something, most welcome. I will also learn something from all of you wonderful devotees. Hare Krishna. Srila Prabhupada ki jai, Granth Raj Srimad Bhagavatam ki jai.
Hare Krishna Prabhuji, thank you very so much for a very enlightening class today, Prabhuji. So much for sharing your wonderful realizations. Is there anybody else, devotees, who have any realizations or comments for Prabhuji?
Hare Krishna Prabhu. Thank you so much for this very relevant class. Very relevant. One second. Yeah, I have a question about something that I think we often hear that you said in this class today, that, you know, if we are disturbed by our life circumstances, you know, it is only the modes that are affecting us. You know, in general, you know, I'm not, you know, I have a bit of a difficulty understanding the modes because it's a little bit abstract for me. But I know that everything in this world is made up of the modes, which means the influences of goodness, passion, ignorance. So when we say that we are disturbed by our life circumstances, and that means that we're disturbed by the modes, I wonder if you could just spell that out a little more, if possible, or, you know, try and elaborate a little bit on that point.
So regarding modes, you see, like, you know, like there are television remotes, there's an air conditioned remote, but there's something called mode. Mode means the platform on which that entire thing is working. So there are three modes: mode of goodness, passion, and ignorance. Mode of goodness, when it's activated, or rather when it's there, what happens? You become more calm, more peaceful. You act with knowledge, with wisdom. So that is, you know, a few of the things. In Bhagavad Gita and Bhagavatam more is explained. So that's mode of goodness. So when that mode is prevalent in your life, that time you will act like that. When the mode of passion, which is too much of work, not related to Krishna, that, and more or less selfishness is there. In mode of goodness, there's selflessness. In mode of passion, it's selfishness. There's knowledge, but it's selfish. And mode of ignorance is no knowledge at all. In Bhagavad Gita 17 and 18 chapter, there are many things based on knowledge, based on the three modes. So sometimes we act completely without knowledge and we take wrong decisions. That's why, that's when we are under the grip of mode of ignorance. And when we act with knowledge, but act for one own self, selfish, and this selfishness is not for the soul, it's for the body. When we are only doing things for the body, thinking that I'm this body, that's mode of passion. Or thinking that I want to do something so that I can attain name, I can attain fame, that's mode of passion. And goodness is knowledge that yes, I'm soul, part and parcel of Krishna. But right now, I have fever, I have temperature, and this body is utilized in service of Krishna. Soul can serve Krishna using this body, but this body has got disease which needs to be cured so that it can again serve Krishna. So taking care of body with the idea, with the understanding that you are soul, but this body is given by Krishna for Krishna's service. That's mode of goodness. That's knowledge. That's real knowledge.
But in,
it's not that in mode of goodness you don't take care of body.
Yeah. In the mode of passion, I think you said that in the mode of passion, I think you said that there is some knowledge.
There is knowledge, but knowledge is not the pure knowledge. The knowledge is contaminated. You consider yourself as a body, not as a soul. So there is some knowledge.
Yeah, but that knowledge doesn't sound like knowledge.
Yeah. You got it right. That knowledge doesn't sound like knowledge because that's not the proper knowledge.
Okay.
And ignorance is absolutely normal.
Okay, I think I should use a practical example of how you can explain these modes to me. Let's say somebody has lost their job, you know, and their bank balance is practically nothing, right? So they're desperate. Mm-hmm. So that person, if they feel, I have to go on job search. I cannot, you know, I have to spend my time that way because, you know, without even food to put on the table, how can anybody chant, you know? So their focus is going to be getting job, getting money. So in that scenario, how are the modes like handicapping that person?
Yeah, good example. So now in this example, when a person has lost job, absolutely no money, if that person somehow sells, you know, whatever furniture in the house and gets some liquor or drugs and gets intoxicated and just sleeps, that's ignorance. Ignorance means you're ignorant. You want to avoid, you want to run away from the situation. That's ignorance.
Mm-hmm.
So this fellow, okay, I have no money, I have nothing to eat. I will sell the furniture, I will sell the car, I will sell the jewelry of my wife and get some intoxication and get intoxicated and lie down wherever I want. That's ignorance. Passion is that I will not chant. Now is the time. Go out and look for job. Without money, I can't exist. So to a certain extent it's true, but at least chant your name if you're a devotee. Or even not devotee, at least have some calm mind. Because there's karma, which is playing the role. You lost job not because of, you know, the new president or the old president. You lost job not because of corona. You lost job not because the economy is going ups and down, topsy-turvy. You lost your job because of your own karma from previous life. Yeah. And you got the job also because of your own karma from previous lives. So without any effort, you got the job. Without any effort, you lost the love. So now you have that understanding that, okay, I got the job. I lost it. The time will come. I will again get the job. But I need to find it. So you find the job. It's not that in goodness you don't work. But let me chant. Let me read. Let me be more peaceful. Let me be more equipped to deal with my mind, to deal with my contaminated consciousness, which is bugging me again and again. That you don't have job, you don't have money, you don't have job, you don't have money. So that's mode of goodness. And then in the daytime, you go out and search for the job. It's not wrong. For survival, you need something and you have to do work. It's not wrong. But don't compromise with devotional service. That's mode of goodness.
And I think, as you said, mode of passion means that you feel that your search for God
that doership tendency is very strong in mode of passion. The mode of passion has very intense doership tendency. Very intense.
Because you feel like you're the cause. Your present activities is the cause of your present situation rather than your karma. Correct?
No. It's a mixture of your previous life action and this life action, and the result is given based on that. Which action will give what result? Nobody knows. Only one thing is known: if you practice bhakti, you get Krishna prema. That is guaranteed. Otherwise, which action will lead to what result? Nobody can say that. It's very complicated. Krishna says in Bhagavad Gita, Gahana Karmana Gati. No, Karmana Gahana Gati, that this karma is so difficult, it is so complicated that nobody can understand. Nobody.
Okay, I think
Krishna, absolutely nobody can understand.
I'm not sure you had understood me, because what I was saying that a person who is in the mode of passion and thinks he is the doer, he thinks that whatever activities he is doing now, like if he goes looking for a job, he feels that activity will be the cause of his getting a job, not his karma.
Yes. In goodness, the person has knowledge. He will consider karma a factor into his calculation. And then, yes, what you're saying is right. I misunderstood. Sorry for that.
In the mode
of passion, he will think that I am the doer and I will do this and get the result.
Mm-hmm. So you're saying that the devotee, the way he should think is that, okay, I don't have job, I don't have bank balance, but the reason I should give my rounds priority because, can you finish that sentence for me?
Even if someone has lost the job and he has to find another job, where will you find job at 4 o'clock in the morning? Prabhupada says, wake up at 4 o'clock, take breakfast. Before sunrise, finish your chanting and then go and look for the job. Show all your doership after 7 o'clock when the sun has risen. You know, so chant your rounds in the morning. Then, anyways, it's priority. Everything is closed down. It's not that the new government will come and then you will be able to find the job at 4 o'clock in the morning. I'll tell you, there's Brahma Murata. So many corporates, so many business people all around the world, they are so much focused. They especially wake up at 4:30, 5 o'clock. And what they do for next 1 hour, just keep quiet and think. Why? Because they have understood the power of Brahma Murata. Even in West, even in US, even in South America, even in know, people have understood the power of Brahma Muhurat. So as devotees, Brahma Muhurat is meant for spiritual activities, not for thinking some innovative ideas for business. So do your rounds, and then 7 o'clock in the morning, go out, come back 9 o'clock, no problem. Keep some Prabhupada books, you will meet someone, distribute them.
Mm-hmm.
Go ahead.
Thank you. Very wonderful answer, Prabhu. Thank you so much. I do have one other separate question. If that's okay.
Yeah, I have time.
Yeah, we often hear that story about the person who, you know, was illiterate and Lord Chaitanya says, you have understood the meaning, but because he was crying, you know? And so he said he understood. So the purport of that story, is it mainly to illustrate that, you know, the meaning that illiterate Brahmana got was the main purport that, look how compassionate and how loving Krishna is? Or is there another lesson? He's Bhakta Vatsala. I mean, that seems to be why he was crying.
So one lesson, definitely what you said is absolutely correct, is Lord Krishna is compassionate, and compassion involves all qualities. Whatever Krishna is doing, why Krishna spoke Bhagavad Gita to Arjuna? To exhibit his compassion to Arjuna and through Arjuna to all of us. So the purpose of Bhagavad Gita is to show compassion. It's Krishna's compassion, that's why he spoke Bhagavad Gita. So compassion encompasses all the qualities. Another reason, another very important lesson. This is like we here in Damodar Leela, two fingers. One is the effort, one is Krishna's mercy. So this is Krishna's mercy. What is the effort he was putting? Because my guru has told me, even though I am incapable, I am illiterate, I will still read Bhagavad Gita. I will still try to read. So unflinching faith on the instructions of spiritual master, on the instruction of guru, that is very important lesson from this. We have to do that. The tears from the eyes, the mercy of Krishna will follow. It has to follow. But we have to put that faith in the words of our Guru. That whatever he is saying is perfect. And I must try to do, even though I am not capable of doing it, I will still try. If that kind of faith you have.
Oh, that's so beautiful, Prabhu. Thank you very, very much. Very beautiful. Hare Krishna.
Thank you very so much, Prabhuji, once again for enlightening a class today, and we are very, very grateful to you. We look forward for your association again in future, Prabhuji. If nobody have any questions, we can end the call here.
Thank you. Very nice classes. Very nice answers. Thank you. Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna. Shri Prabhupada Vijay.
Vancha kalpatarubhyascha kripa sindubhya evacha patitanam pavanebhyo vaishnavebhyo namo namaha. Grantha Srimad Bhagavatam ki jai. Srila Prabhupada ki jai. Is Chris Chakravarti Prabhuji ki jai.
Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna.